This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Mic check. 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an edition, another edition, a repeat from the vault edition of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and I usually don't pull out a lot of old episodes, but I'm pulling one out from 2022 with a guest named Rick Hall. Now, Rick is a Southern hunter, turkey, deer, you name it, he does it. And I wanted to pull out an episode for the guys out there who hunt the South. Warm weather guys as well. This could fall into that category. If you like to hunt early season, if you like to hunt wet environments, if you do hunt wet environments. So although this show was dedicated, this episode was kind of dedicated to the outdoorsmen of the South, this episode could potentially be listened to by everybody. So enjoy it. If you're new to the Hunting Gear Podcast, this is going to be a great episode for you guys to listen to, especially if you live in the South. Now, before we get into this episode, I want to send a huge shout out to the partners of this podcast. And the first on the list is Reveal Trail Cameras. If you're not familiar with Reveal, they are they're starting to become one of the most popular brands of cellular trail cameras that are currently out. They have a very, very easy setup where you put batteries in the camera, you download the app to your phone, you scan a QR code, and the cameras are ready to roll. They are very affordable. They work great in a lot of conditions. I'll tell you, I've had a couple in some pretty low deer areas. I don't want to say, you know, if you plan on putting a trail camera over bait, they're going to run through battery just because the deer or wildlife is always in front of the camera. But from a battery life standpoint, they do a really good job. I got a couple that are still out in the field from this past November, and they're still sending me pictures every single day. So the battery life is good. The trigger speed is good. The app that they have is awesome. They've updated a ton of new features, including mapping and documenting deer that you guys should definitely go check out. Outside of that, just a really, really good brand. Go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new 3.0 versions of the reveal. All right. Next on the list is Code Blue Sense. Code Blue is one of those brands that's been around for a long time, in a sense, kind of reaching legendary or iconic status with who they've worked with, the brand that they have become. I started falling in love with this brand, and one product in particular is the Rope-A-Dope Mock Scrape Kit. It's a product that I use every single year now, multiple times, creating mock scrapes, you know, a variety of different things like that. Outside of that, they have real and synthetic deer urines and deer scents. They have scent elimination products like laundry detergent, sprays, body soaps, deodorants, along with a variety of other stuff that you can sprinkle on the ground, all that stuff, minerals and stuff like that. So go to codebluescents.com, and I do have a discount code for you. It is NFC20 for 20% off. That, my friends, is the intro. Let's get into this From the Vault episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, right here on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And today we're going to be talking with Rick Hall. Rick is a Southern outdoorsman, a Southern gentleman of sorts. And today we are going to be talking about must-have products, pieces of hunting gear, pieces of equipment for the Southern outdoorsman. And we just break that down. I don't hunt in the South, so I know a lot of guys who listen to this podcast are from the South. And so I wanted to dedicate an episode specifically for the guys who grind it out hard down in the South all season long. And that's what today's episode is about. We're going to keep the intro short, so we're going to get right into the commercials here today. If you're looking for a saddle, you need to go check out the Tethered Nation. Go check out Tethered's website. Not only do they have an awesome selection of saddles, platforms, climbing sticks, and saddle hunting accessories, the thing that makes, that complements their products very well is their educational platform. All the videos, all the content dedicated to making you comfortable with their products and you better as a saddle hunter in general. So definitely go check out Tethered's website, their YouTube channel, all that stuff. I think they might even have a podcast. Next on the list is Hunt Stand. And, you know, now that I think about this, I really do think that Hunt Stand would be a great Christmas gift idea for a brand new hunter, a seasoned hunter, a hardcore hunter, a weekend warrior type hunter. It just gives you the functionality to research the properties that you hunt, and not just on a who owns it, what are the property boundaries like. It also gives you the ability to document everything that you see, organize your trail camera pictures, know what the weather is, look at the terrain features in a variety of different maps. on, you know, map layers. So what I'm going to recommend is go to HuntStand.com, check out all the functionality. And if you do already have HuntStand, think about upgrading to the Pro Whitetail platform. Tons of really cool things that have just been released on that new platform that some serious whitetail hunters would love to go take a look at. So HuntStand.com. And last but not least, if you're the kind of guy who loves to document your hunts, you like to see what you shoot, that way you can see where the shot placement was at, you can share the what you saw with your buddies and with your friends, go check out Tacticam. Tacticam has a variety of mounting systems for your bow, your gun. I think they even have stuff for fishing, stuff you can hang in the tree, like over the shoulder type things. And so what I would do is go to their website, check out all of the different products that they have. They have a brand new product called the 6.0, and it has image stabilization. It has an LCD screen. It's 4K. So it is the cat's pajama of action cams for the outdoorsman. So go check that out. And that's it. Let's get into today's episode, my friends. 3, 2, 1. All right. On the podcast today, Mr. Rick Hall. Rick, how are we doing today?
Doing good, Dan. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we started recording, we were just talking about the differences between where you're located and where I'm located. And because I had to shut off a space heater in my office before I record. And it's like, it's 20 degrees out here right now. I think the high today is supposed to get mid 30s or something like that, low 30s. But you're where? Northeast Florida?
Northeast Florida, Jacksonville. Yeah. And we hit 82 yesterday and expecting to be in the same vicinity today. I was actually worried about you hearing my fan in the background. There's no heaters here.
Your air conditioning kicking in.
For sure.
Now, let me ask you, okay, so how far is Jacksonville from the coast?
Man, Jacksonville is a huge city, so yeah. You can be in Jacksonville and be an hour away from another piece of town. But we're right on the coast. I live kind of really central Jacks, I'm probably 15-20 minute drive from the beach. We do that pretty regular, man. I wasn't a beach guy until I moved here. I'm originally from Alabama, so wasn't huge into the beach. The sand always kind of gave me the creeps afterwards, trying to clean all that stuff out of everywhere. But now I love the beach. It's one of the coolest things about living over here.
You embrace it.
I do. I can go from board shorts to hunting boots in a matter of minutes, man. I love it.
Yeah. So don't take this the wrong way, but I was talking to another guy, who lives in Florida, and he was talking about how, you know, you have the big cities like Fort Lauderdale, we have Tampa, we have Miami. So people don't think that there's like Florida is considered a southern state and that there's not any rednecks down there in Florida. But he goes, that's where people are wrong. There are a lot of rednecks in Florida.
I thought the same thing, man. You know, who wanted to be Florida man, right? When I moved from Alabama, but right. it didn't take long for it to feel like home. I come from really rural Alabama, so full of rednecks, yeah. Man. And no offense taken, man. I proudly wear that badge sometimes.
Right.
But it didn't take long to settle in because there is a lot of good country folk. While it's still, like you said, it's getting developed. You think of the cities, man. It's still a lot of old Florida, a lot of good families, a lot of, you know, the outdoors are still a part of the fabric of yes. Most of the state. So, rednecks run free and wild here for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. Rednecks are like white-tailed deer. They're everywhere, right? I mean, they are. They're in Iowa, too.
For sure, man. I've been fortunate to travel over. I've run into people of lifeblood all over the country. So rednecks run deep, and it's
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So on today's episode, we are going to talk about, must-have products for the Southern outdoorsman, the Southern hunter. And, so my buddy, Parker McDonald, he has the Southern Ground podcast here on the Sportsman's Empire Network, but, and he talks a lot about, you know, the, all things hunting down south. And you also have a podcast as well, right?
Yeah, I co-host a podcast, Southern Game and Tackle, with a good friend of mine from right here in Jacksonville, Dex Carter. It kind of started out of us just hanging out in the driveway, right, talking about the hunting and fishing trips we had gone on, the stuff we wanted to do. And it happened right in the middle of kind of the lockdown in 2020 when everything was crazy. So instead of just talking amongst ourselves, we decided to get a mic. And, man, it's been really cool. I've got the opportunity to talk to people like Parker, had him on our podcast. He's a fellow Alabama boy, so we share a lot of common interests, you know. And growing up, you know, just wanting to outdoors has been, you know, my life since I was a little kid. I remember watching all the VHSs of Monster Bucks and Primetime Bucks and all that stuff, man. And so to kind of to have a small platform where people might listen, and man, even if they don't, just to get to talk about the stuff and talk to people like you about it, it's been really cool, man.
Yeah, and I don't know how many guys that I talk to who start podcasts where it's just, hey, we're sitting here doing this anyway, why not record it?
Exactly. That we had that same conversation, man. And really, it took us a long time to kind of come up with the name before we ever really started it. I mean, we've actually got some stuff that'll probably never hit the air under some different names as we were trying to fill our way out. And one night, you know, we were trying to encompass everything because we're not just I'm hunting. I mean, if it was me, I would only talk hunting all the time, man. I love to fish. I love being on the water for sure. But I was born in the woods and that's my thing. But being here in Northeast Florida, man, and we were talking about the coast and all that stuff, right? It's the opportunity to fish is you just be ignorant as an outdoorsman not to do it. And a lot of our, you know, audience is from this area. So we do talk a lot of fishing, but you're right. I mean, we talk about it anyway. And in most of our circles, why not just sit down and talk about it? And honestly, man, it's pushed me and taught me a lot, right? As I have to listen to myself, it kind of holds you accountable, right? Right. We don't profess to be experts by any means. We're more about the experience and the enjoyment.
Yeah.
We're not chasing this full time. We've got full time families, full time jobs, those things too. But you know, it has helped me become better, more aggressive, more try different things, really expand kind of what I thought was hunting, you know, maybe 10 years ago versus the way I'm kind of approaching things now. So it's really cool. And, you know, whether anybody listens to you or not, and if you're thinking about it and out there, why not try it? It's pretty easy to grab a mic and go.
Heck yeah. All right. Let's talk about some must-have products for the Southern outdoorsman, the Southern hunter. And I want to kind of encompass it all. We're going to leave fishing out of it, but anything that has to do with throughout the entire year, I want to put the constraints on it. There's not a lot of constraints. You can talk about deer hunting. You can talk about turkey hunting. You can talk about squirrel hunting. I don't care. Just from your position, talk to us a little bit. Let's just start off with one. What's the first must-have product for a Southern outdoorsman?
Well, this won't be breaking any news. You're going to get this from a lot of guys from the South, but a thermocell.
Yes.
That is, you're just not going to go in the woods or on the water, really, honestly, a lot of times without something like that. I mean, man, I've hunted places in kind of the South Georgia swampy areas and some of these kind of coastal plains that have, you know, a lot of just marshes and things like that where one is not enough, man. You need two and a head net a lot of times. Yeah. But thermocells, number one, for sure. We also use kind of on the same lines some Promethean type treatments on our clothes and anything we can do because it can be bad. One day of scouting or one day where you don't take really good care of yourself walking through some of this thick stuff, you're going to have you know, red bugs, chiggers, for weeks from one day, if you don't really kind of watch it. So I guess bug control, whether it's thermocell, whether it's some kind of treated clothing, man, that is for the South from Alabama, Georgia to Florida. I think that's number one, or you're going to be miserable and it just won't be fun.
Yeah. I've talked to a lot of guys in the South who forgetting their thermocell is just like forgetting your bow or your gun. I mean, it's that much of a hindrance, right? Like
it is.
I have to have it or I'm not going to be able to survive it.
Yeah. Here where I'm at in Jacksonville, you know, our deer season, our archery season opens, you know, middle of September. And I mean, you literally have to get yourself psyched up to get out of the truck sometimes, because you know, right before daylight, the second you open that truck and the lights come on inside, you're just going to get swarmed, man. And you spend the rest of the day getting the bugs out. So it's really weird. I mean, it's, I was just in Illinois a couple of weeks ago hunting it, and it was rather warm. It was kind of the end of October, first of November, when some of that warm spell was there. And I remember not having my thermocell and thinking, walking in like 70 degrees, I'm going to need this thing today. And I didn't. And I was like, man, I would have been eaten alive back home if I'd not had it. It was nice to not have it. That is such a big concern in a different part of the country.
Yeah. Now, I'm lucky. Unless it is a wet and warm, like October 1st is when Iowa opens up their deer hunting season. So, yes, in turkey season, it's I have to fight some mosquitoes every once in a while. Usually in the mornings, the season that I go, it's not too bad. But as you get later into the season and things start to warm up, especially if there's moisture, then it's mosquito haven. But this is a true story, man. I once went on a scouting mission in July in a river bottom that it had been wet and rainy for, you know, the week prior. And have you ever been walking through on these waist-high grass and your path is just kicking up mosquitoes on the grass, yes. Right? It's just like, it's like dust on a road, right? You're walking through, it disrupts them, and they all fly up.
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do about it. And so, man, that day, you know, I didn't have a thermocell, and I was out scouting and hanging trail cameras. And I got stung by so many mosquitoes, I started feeling unwell.
If fashion is your thing, eBay is it. eBay is where I find all my favorites, from handbags to iconic streetwear, all authenticated. For real. This time, a little Supreme, some Gucci. I even have that vintage Prada on my watch list. That's why eBay's my go-to for all my go-tos. Yeah, eBay. The place for new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion. eBay. Things people love.
Like, it'll make you question your sanity.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And I was just like, to the point where I took a handful of mud and I put it on the back of my neck, because they were biting the back of my neck so bad.
Yeah, man. It can be miserable. Man, we do it for fun. And so... Yeah, for that kind of stuff, like I said, it'll make you question your sanity and really why I'm out here. So that is the biggest key, man. That especially for here, you're not. I mean, I hunt. I typically really only hunt Florida, and I'll try not to go too far down a rabbit hole. But you know, with everything we've got going on, just in our normal lives, we kind of try to limit our hunts. We don't just hunt here. I do a lot of hunting in Alabama. Like I said, I've been to Illinois, and I try to schedule all of my hunts around the rut. Mm-hmm. And in the South, that's like, can be from July to February, depending on what part of the state or what part of the region you're hunting. We typically start in September here and kind of run that through October until we make our trip to the Midwest, wherever that's going to be for the year. And then really kind of pick back up when Alabama starts, and the region I hunt kind of starts in January. But then we end the season in February back in Florida on a rut hunt and the kind of panhandle out in the west side of the state. Mm-hmm. And pretty much every rut hunt that is in the South, minus the Midwest, the thermocell is going to be in my backpack or in my kind of kit that I'm carrying wherever I'm going, because it can, you know, at 50 degrees here in the South, you're still going to have problems with it.
Yeah, that's a fact. Thermocell, must-have product for the Southern outdoorsman.
Key.
All right. So next on your list, what's another one?
Yeah, for me is probably like the I guess the clothes, man. The apparel, right? You kind of have to be ready for a lot of different situations. And I think layering has been the biggest thing for me. And kind of to piggyback off of it, like sometimes here, if you're talking about the deep South, when early season can be really hot, really humid, man, sometimes you kind of have to throw scent control out of the window, right? Because you're sweating everywhere you're going. I don't care what they say about the thermocells, right? It puts off a scent. So it can be very difficult to really manage scent control. So being able to layer and kind of manage your sweat is kind of the way I look at my kind of clothing. I kind of start a lot of times, man, I'm walking into the woods in a short sleeve shirt, right? A very short sleeve or a short sleeve base layer with my outer layer that I'm going to put on when I get to the stand. Finding the lightest weight pants that have some kind of brush resistance is going to be key. Because everything here's got briars, everything here's got burrs. And the thinner you go, I used to try to hunt in just a bug suit and a pair of base layers until, a couple of briar patches ended that. So you do have to put up with a little bit of heat to get into some of the places we like to go. But just making sure that you're prepared for, right, a walk in 90 degree temperature, being able to maybe change clothes when you get there, but having clothes that can keep you comfortable and keep you protected, kind of the entire time is probably the what I pay attention to the most, right? Yeah. Is what am I going to be wearing? And how do I kind of manage that throughout the season, throughout a weekend? Sometimes here we can go from 90 to 60, and 60 degrees here doesn't sound like a big drop, but people start putting on UGG boots and hoodies when it gets below 80 here.
Right.
Right. So you kind of have to be prepared to have that option, or those options as the weather changes.
Yeah. I'll say this, man. I used to live in Alabama, in a small town called Hartsel, just south of south of Decatur. And I worked in, Decatur. And so I remember out of the one time when I was down there, the one winter it snowed, I want to say it was like 35 degrees, 32, like just right at freezing, snow. And they layer it was enough to just cover the grass and the roads. And they shut down everything, and people were like, "Don't go outside."
That's right. It freaks them out, man. Right. You even talk about a wintry mix here, and they are shutting schools down. Nobody knows how to deal with it here.
Right.
We can barely drive in the rain, man. Don't give us any ice.
And here I am driving 50 on it, you know, and I'm just.
It is a little different when And one of the last times that I was in, I've been to Illinois two trips this year, a longer one and then a quick short one. And the second one, it actually snowed the first night I was there, and was kind of like 21, 22 when I woke up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was terrified of it. But it, you know, with the right system, with the right clothes, I was able to deal with it. I can honestly say, though, if it was 22 degrees here, I don't know that I would be real excited about going hunting.
Right.
It just feels like a different cold. It gets in the 40s here, and I do start shivering a little bit where up there, and, you know, I'm actually leaving a layer maybe back at the house that I would normally take.
Right. Okay. So you talk about these layers. Are there any specific layers that you would recommend, like, for example, a base layer or a insulation layer or a rain jacket or whatever?
So I'll say kind of three quick ones here. Number one is I have become a huge fan of like a merino wool long sleeve layer.
Yep.
Sometimes they can be a little warm for here, but once you really get out of that 90s, out of kind of that first month of the season, if we go again from September to February, I'll be hunting here, but that you can put one of those lightweight merino layers on and kind of leave it on all day, whether you're active or sitting in a stand. It just seems to be a really good kind of first layer there. And I'm not particular to any brand there. If you get a good one, I think that merino wool lightweight layer is really good, especially on top. Just seems to wick stuff away really good.
Yeah.
The second is a vest, man. I've become a huge fan of just packing a vest in with me, for sometimes when those kind of mid temperature days where you're not sure if it's going to be an extra layer or am I going to have one layer too many, man. Just a good vest that you can pack. They pack up easy. If you got sleeves on and it's not terribly cold, I can generally put one of those on and make it through, you know, any sit that I'm kind of on the border of how much, because I always like to wear less if I can get away with it. And I've, over the past couple of years, a good a good insulated vest goes a long way, keeps you kind of mobile. I'm a bow hunter and saddle hunter, so I like to be able to move freely. And a vest has become kind of a key staple of my system. And then the third is certainly some kind of packable rain jacket. We have a lot of thunderstorms that just pop up here on the coast.
Yep.
You can go from beautiful to raining in a matter of seconds. And I just keep a poncho, just, something I can pack up really light in the bottom of my bag just in case I ever need it. And I have needed it more times than not. So always happy that I have that thing in there.
Yeah. Here's what I found out when I go out in September, right? I hunted Nebraska this year, and there were a couple days where it was brutally hot. And when I'm in the Midwest and it's hot, it's early season. Maybe I'm doing a scouting or a trail camera day. I'm changing up my game and I'm wearing a synthetic, and I feel that the synthetics give me a cooler feeling. I don't necessarily think it wicks the moisture away like the merino does, but what that does is I feel like the synthetic just allows the sweat to stay, not be gross, but you know what I mean? Like not gross, but it helps cool the body down.
1,000%. And when I'm in, you know, when we're in those hot temperatures, that's exactly what I wear, is I try to find some sort of synthetic long sleeve. I prefer something with a hood on it so I don't have to wear a hat. I can just kind of use that light hood to throw over my head if I need to when it's real hot like that. But I 1,000% agree. I've got some really good synthetic pullovers that I wear early season when those temperatures are hot. And it does tend to make those days a little bit more a little bit more tolerable. That merino is too warm for those hot hunts, but for the majority of the season, I can typically get away with that.
Yep, absolutely. All right. And any other pieces of clothing that you would say are must-haves for the Southern guy?
This episode is sponsored by Friskies, who would like to tell your cats hi. Now, if that didn't get your cat's attention, there's one thing that always does the trick. Just pour some Friskies crunchy food in the bowl and you'll hear those paws come running. Works every time. With so many Friskies choices, you can always bring your cats running from their secret napping spots. There's always more to explore. See for yourself at friskies.com or visit your local store.
Man, I'll tell you one real quick, and it's around boots and not typical, just make sure you have comfortable footwear, but kind of is. But man, you know, everybody down here at the South wants to wear, tall rubber boots.
Yep.
Man, one of the things that I have found that's been, and those things can get really hot. One of the things that I found that has been kind of life-changing over the past 2 years, especially for where I hunt in Northeast Florida, and I don't typically carry these to all the spots I hunt. I guess it kind of depends on the terrain, but I've started carrying a pair of really light hip waders. They're made by Frog Tog, actually.
Yep.
And they're just really light hip waders that you can roll down and not wear, fully pulled up. A lot of the stuff we have is flooded and you don't know it until you get there, or you shoot a deer and then it runs into something flooded that you need to get access to, but you don't have it. Man, I can put those roll up waders on and wear them all day long. They're pretty comfortable. I've walked 4 or 5 miles scouting in them, in a day. So I'm not concerned about that. I've sat in a saddle, on a saddle platform with them for hours on end and no issue. And they give me the flexibility to whether I need to get into something wet or not. I'm always prepared without any extra bulk or any extra heat. So, a good pair of hip waders can go a long way and not be as uncomfortable, or hot as you think. They've been really good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple places where I could benefit from a tall rubber boot or hip waders, but I try to find my way out of those situations.
Most of the time I'm wearing hiking boots, right? Something light, something comfortable for sure. But I do early season here, we hunt a lot of public land that we're drawing quotas for. And man, pretty much in September, everything's going to be underwater. And so you got to be prepared for it.
Yeah. All right. All right. So we talked a little bit about clothing, the hip waders, another product.
Man, something, and honestly, this is just something that I've really started doing over the past really 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, I guess. But it was always kind of a stigma in the South, like calls don't work. But I would call BS on that after kind of what I've seen the past several years. One of the last really good deer I killed in Alabama, I rattled him in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've started, really like growing up, everybody like, no, that rattling and calling, that only works where those guys are hunting on TV. It doesn't work here. There was probably some truth to that when I was coming up and our deer population was way out of, the ratio was out of control. And it's certainly gotten better through, both the state and, kind of private land management practices. But it's still not Illinois. It's still not Texas, where it's not Iowa.
Yeah.
And so you don't expect those things to work. But man, even in Florida, we go that hunt that we'll do in the Panhandle in February. You can rattle deer in all day long. Now they may all be small young deer, and they may not come in range. But man, rattling and grunting and even blind calling. I tend to do more blind calling than I do seeing a deer. A lot of times when you've laid eyes on one here in the South, they're almost too close to call to.
Yeah.
But I have had a lot of success, and probably seen deer that I wouldn't have seen, and know I've killed deer, that I wouldn't have killed, had it not been for calling, where I know a ton of deer hunters, guys that I hunt with on a regular basis that don't even carry a grunt tube with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy to me. Like, it just seems like so commonplace that you would want to do that. But I just know guys that still have that old school mentality that it's just not going to work. And man, it can turn a dud of a day into a heck of a day.
Yeah. Are there any particular calls that you would recommend or that you well, found usage out of?
Yeah. So my favorite, from a rattling perspective is I love the flex tone. I guess they're called battle bombs.
Yeah.
They look like four horns there. I've tried rattling bags. I've rattled deer in with rattling bags. And they certainly pack up easier. They're way easier to get wherever you need to go. But I think just the sound of those horns, from at least for a fake set, right. I don't know that you could beat natural horns, but sometimes those are, I'm not trying to cut off a set of really nice deer horns to make some rattling horns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I really like those battle horns. I've called, since I've started using those really, which was probably 2019, was really, I said, I'm going to commit to it and kind of like prove to me that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it did. I killed, a really nice deer that year with one. The next morning after killing him, I rattled in another nice deer that had I not killed the one the day before, I would have shot him. And I've just stuck to it. It's been, I carry them with me year round pretty much, even if I'm not going to use them because there might be a situation that comes up. And they typically don't take up a lot of room. I think a lot of people think about the headache and how am I going to get stuff like that in? And I don't want to carry anything, but they don't take anything to get in the woods, and they've been a pretty good key. I rattled a couple of deer in Illinois up with them this year. So I think they look cool, man. Right. You got four horns in your hand when you're rattling. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So the calls there, let's change topics just a bit and let's do turkey, like a product related to turkey hunting.
Okay. Yeah, so, oh, man.
Here's what I'll say real quick, though. The Midwesterner, you ask them, what do you love the most? They're going to tell you whitetails, right? You talk to some guys in the South, and they may choose, I don't know about you, but I know some guys who would probably choose turkey hunting over deer hunting.
I know a lot of them. I know one of the things we do with every guest on our podcast is we ask them, if they could only do, fishing or hunting for the rest of their life, which one would it be and why? And a number of the guys that have said hunting have specifically drilled down and said turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And those guys, that they've got it in their blood. I can understand it, man. When you're calling that turkey and he's gobbling and reacting and he comes in strutting, there are very few things in the woods like that. It is a cool experience. So I get that. I'm not, I go a handful of times a year. It's just not something that's always that's like, you know, deer hunting, man. That's my thing. I like turkey hunting. I go a couple times a year. But one of the things, and this can go for deer hunting too, especially in the South, and you know, we're talking about Southern guys, and stuff that I would suggest that I don't know everybody uses, but man, a bino harness, or binoculars, yeah. Optics.
Yeah.
A lot like the calls here, you know, in the South, people don't carry binoculars a lot with them. Number one, cause it's super thick. We don't have any, there's not a lot of people that have property that they can see 100 yards, right, or further. Most everything here, you're 60, 70 yards and you don't have time to grab your binoculars to look. You got to make a quick decision. It's just, everything's so thick. Man, I actually transitioned away from a turkey vest this past year altogether, and just went minimalist. Took my bino harness, added a couple little Molly attachments to carry the few calls I needed. Grabbed a little thermoset, I think that's what it's called, the little thermoset cushion that I could clip on to my belt. And man, just being able to use those things, it's you don't realize how much you can see past the thick wall of stuff in front of you until you've got those optics in your hand. Kind of saved a turkey hunt last year. We didn't kill the turkey, but would have never seen the turkey had we not, had the optics and kind of spent some time looking around for it. And it worked with me on a deer hunt this year where I would have probably blown a deer out of there. Didn't kill the deer, but had an incredible encounter, but would have blown him out if I didn't have the optics to kind of pick him out beforehand. So that would be one as a Southern hunter. Don't overlook the fact that they can be helpful, even if you don't have a ton of room to, a ton of space that you can see with them. They can absolutely help. They've even helped me scouting where, you know, sometimes you'll walk into a spot and you kind of think this could be it, but you don't want to spend a lot of time walking around. If you're going to climb a tree, you can just kind of sit there and pick the woods apart with those binoculars and never have to really set foot and know where you kind of need to be so you can be more decisive about, with your time in that area. So Optics, man, that's a huge one for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's something, you know, it's something that I'm just kind of forcing myself to do over the past couple of years again, trying to prove to myself that I don't need them and I won't leave the truck without them anymore.
Yeah. And that's one of those things that's countrywide, right? I mean, I look at a pair of optics as almost another appendage, right? I use my binoculars all the time. I mean, on a Western hunt, all the time. On a deer hunt, maybe not so much, only because I'm always in some place that's fairly tight. You know, very rarely am I in a position where I'm able to glass the terrain. But I will say this, I definitely would go back to the truck. And that's almost how I break it down. Like if I forgot something, would I turn around halfway to the stand and go back and get my bow? Yes. Arrows? Yes. Binoculars. Yeah, probably would. Just like the thermocell, right? You turn around, you go back, you know?
And I've done a couple of things to kind of force myself to it, right? Like on my bino harness now. And I'm sure, you know, this is probably common for people that do use them, but you know, I've got my range finder there. I've got another admin pouch with my flashlight and wind floater on it. So multiple things that I'm going to need in that hunt, not just the binoculars, right? Multiple things. So I'm more apt to, okay, put it on. So I'm not taking stuff out and put it in pockets. Just throw the thing on and carry it. And then I've got them there. So I kind of have to force myself to get into better habits with little tricks like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other turkey product or specific call or decoy or whatever that you would recommend for a Southern guy?
Popeyes has gone full pickle. Meet their new pickle menu. Pickle glazed sandwich, pickle glazed wings, fried pickles, and wait for it. Pickle lemonade. You know a pickle thing this good won't last. Love that pickle from Popeyes. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
Oh man, I use there's a local guy here that makes mouth calls, so I'll give him a shout out. I think you can probably find him on Facebook, but it's Branch Water Calls. I'm actually looking at a couple on my desk here, and you know I've used a ton of the mass produced calls that you can get from any sporting goods store. And I'm not going to win any turkey calling competitions with it, but man, got hooked up with this guy from a good friend of mine who's one of those guys that would turkey hunt over deer hunt any day. And they have become just a staple for me. They're as easy to blow and to get a good sound out of as any call that I've ever found. And he hand makes them right here along with a few other turkey things. So yeah, just that would be my thing, that the Branch Water. And I'm not particular to a ton of brands, right? And I pay for mine from him just like anybody else does. But Branch Water Calls, that's become my favorite over the past few years for sure.
Yeah. And there, I'll tell you this, there is I'll try to do my best to compare turkey calls to turkey calls or game calls to, let's say, optics, right? You put your, I don't know, your eyes into a medium priced, medium of the road, medium priced optics, and then you put your eyes into like a Vortex or a Swarovski, it's completely different. You can tell the difference.
Same, it's ridiculous how different it is.
Yeah, and this I look at the same with certain calls, and usually they revolve around a handmade, right? Like I've talked to like some handmade box calls versus some heavy manufactured box calls, or some handmade diaphragm calls, or whatever the scenario is. Even grunt tubes and things like that, dude. There is in my opinion, there is a big difference. Now you're paying more for some of these calls, but I don't know. I'm also
And I'm with you. I try to be a budget guy as much as I can, and if I can save a few dollars here and there, I do. But there are certain things, right? You get what you pay for, and you hear people talk about it with optics all the time. And that turkey call, that's kind of the same. You hit the nail on the head with that comparison. But for those things, it's not that you have to go out and spend, all the money in the world, but find out what your budget is, spend to the max of that, right? And you're going to see the difference, and it'll pay off. Absolutely. I do have to ask you a question though, because man, I struggle with finding a good grunt call, man. The mass produced things are just, they freeze up. They don't, if you get half, at least under my experience, if you get half of a season out of one, you've done pretty good. And, man, most of those are 19, 20 bucks a pop anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for a good handmade grunt call?
Well, I don't have a handmade grunt call.
Or a better one.
Yeah. So before I lose my train of thought, we were talking about turkey calls. And so I was like, I can notice the difference on a very high quality turkey call, right? I think they're better, but I don't use them. Dude, turkey, in my opinion, a Tom turkey, if he's interested in coming into a call, will come in to me going, mah, 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 mah.
Just
like the worst, the worst sounding, like it doesn't even sound like a turkey, but they'll come into it if they're fired up. All right. So there's that. But
hey, and I've heard some hens in the woods that sound worse than my calling, and they tend to pull more gobblers in than I do.
That's so. Right. That's right. But when it comes to a grunt tube, I have in the past, man, I think it's been in the past 7 to 10, I want to say 12 years, maybe it's even longer than that. I've only had two grunt calls in that period of time. And one I had for like 10 years. And then recently I lost that one coming out of the woods or something. I couldn't find it. I don't know where it went. And it was the most realist. I don't even know the brand of it, what it was. Because I bought it like the first thing I ever bought. I'm sure it was cheap. And it sounded really good. I mean, it sounded really good. And I kept going with it. There was times where after several years, if it got cold, I had to breathe in it first in order to warm up the reed so it would fire. And then what I lost it. So I went into a Gander Mountain and I opened up like, I don't know, 7 or 8 different boxes and was blowing in every one of these grunt tubes looking for something that compared to it. And and I've told this story before, but the kid, he was like a high schooler, come up to me and he's like, "Hey, I don't think you're supposed to open those up." And I said, like, I don't remember what I said to him, but I said, like, "I'm going to do whatever I want." And
I don't blame
you. and then he just turned around and left. Right. So he was like, "I'm just not going to mess with this guy." And so I sounded every one of them off, and I ended up going with it was a bone collector one. I don't know. They're probably partnered with somebody, but I don't know who it was, but it's a bone collector one. It's got a snort wheeze built into it. I don't use that, but it sounds really deep, really good. You can like manipulate it a little bit if you want, but, it works, man. I mean, this year alone, I turned $3 my way. You know, they were by themselves. It was the perfect opportunity to do the brap, hit them once with it. Sounded realistic, and they turned and they came in to investigate. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I think it's a decent one.
Fair enough. I've used some of theirs before. And the freezing thing, that's where I have a problem. And man, even hunting in the South, when you get in January and we finally get some of those cold temperatures here, man, you grunt on it a couple of times, you go to grab it again and no noise comes out of it. And that just scares me to death. If I'm grabbing it the one time, to do just what you talked about, just hit that buck that you see and, you may only have a split second to get his attention. If that thing doesn't work, man, I've got two in my pack right now. I've got a flex tone, that I've had a couple of years that sounds great, but it'll stick, when it doesn't need to. And the one that I picked up this year, I think it's the Illusion system is what it's called. And it's got a slide on it that keeps it from sticking, but doesn't sound as good as the other one. So, you know, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I overthink things like that and they all would do a good job, but I'm also the kind of guy who, if it works for me, I'm going to stick with it. I don't like to change up my, you know, 1000%. Change up my gear all the time. I like to stick with what works. And if I'm going to, I don't know, over the past 5 years, I've really been experimenting with my clothing and my layering to find what works the best for me in the terrain that I hunt. And so that's the, like, but now that I've kind of figured it out, I'm not really, I don't know. I don't mess with this, my gear anymore as much as I used to.
Yeah. And I guess that would be, you know, a good tip. Especially like with new hunters, and we, you know, we have a lot of interaction in our podcast with newer guys, and it's real easy to get caught up in just, oh, yeah, you know, having the newest fad or the newest piece, oh, yeah, of brand name. Right. And, you know, if you've got something that's comfortable, right. You know, I know guys that have been hunting out of climbers forever, and, you know, they ask me about, you know, what it's like hunting out of a saddle, and they don't have any complaints, any issues with their climber. Well, don't change it, man. If you're successful and you're good, man, don't change it. Worry about something else that you have, you know, that you struggle with, right, in your gear, your setup, or your approach, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm kind of like you. I've kind of finally got to slow down on some of the things that I was tinkering with, it seemed like daily, because I finally feel good about it. And the second you get away from it, you realize why you liked it before. So if you got something that works, don't get caught up in the fad and kind of keep the confidence where you can and then work on the, you know, tweak the areas that you need to. But if it works, stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, we're coming here towards the end of the episode. Are there any other products that you would say are a staple for the Southern hunter, the Southern outdoorsman?
Yeah, my last one is going to be kind of a little different, but man, stay hydrated. I'm also kind of a little fitness buff here. And man, it's real easy to get, you know, into a hunting trip or into hunting season, and just kind of be focused on, you know, fast food or a Coke instead of or a beer instead of a bottle of water. But I will go back to the truck if I forgot a bottle of water or something to keep me hydrated. I've actually transitioned to a small hydration pack and kind of keep it filled up with me. I've always got it at my fingertips. But whether it's 90 degrees or 20 degrees outside, man, when you're kind of getting after it, especially, you know, if it's one of those trips that you're 3 or 4 days after it and, you know, constantly spending time in the stand, doesn't take long to get dehydrated. And, I'm sitting here looking at my bottle of water. I carry a jug with me everywhere I go. I think it's probably a wise idea. If you're spending a lot of time, we talked about fishing earlier, you know, on the hot water, stay hydrated. Just the simple things, man. And it can turn it can make sure that your trips stay as they should, instead of maybe you getting a little out of whack there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, great advice. I tell you what, I've been on a Western hunt where my water ran out and I was like 2 miles from the truck. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but
that's enough.
I was wrecked by the time I got back to the truck. And, I never caught up with, I mean, I think 2 liters that night after I got back, and the next morning, you know, I brought my water with me and I was still, I mean, that dehydration, once it hits, it takes a long time. It's easy.
It's almost too late. So yeah, just, you know, just carry one with you. 16-ounce bottle. You can throw that in your pack and stay pretty good. And man, you can get a cheap hydration pack. I think the backpack I use is from Academy, like $20, man. And I can pack my saddle stuff, everything on it, compress it down with a couple straps and roll. Absolutely. And I've got 2.5 liters of water everywhere I go.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Rick Hall, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat with us about all this gear. And man, and it's down south, man. The rut is just getting started, it sounds like. So good luck the rest of the season, man.
Yeah, man. I'm actually, as soon as we hang up, headed to Bama to start scouting, and we'll be after them from now till mid-February. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll have some good success stories to send your way.
Absolutely, man. Hey, thanks again, man.
Hey, cool. I appreciate you, Dan.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.